Welcome to Monday Morning Moments. I'm your host, Mike Van Hooser. On today's podcast, we're going to be talking about the voice of leadership. You know, it's interesting. I've been fascinated with leadership since a very young age, for a lot of years, and focusing on working with different organizations and looking at different forms of leadership, good styles of leadership, bad styles of leadership. And one of the things that always comes through in leadership when we talk about it and being a good leader is communication. And our focus has been developing leaders in sports, business, and life, and get a chance to have conversations and work with elite athletes in high school, college, and professional sports, with business leaders, and also with entrepreneurs. We talk a lot about communication. It's interesting when we work a lot with athletes, sometimes we'll ask the question about, are you a vocal leader, or how do you communicate as a leader? And sometimes people will say, no, I'm not a very vocal leader. You know, I like to lead by example. And then others will say, well, yeah, I'm the person who gives a speech before we go out on the court, and I'm vocal, and I keep people accountable, and I communicate with my teammates well. And regardless of this, we have to develop in those skills of communication if we want to be an effective leader. And yet communication is a fundamental problem in many organizations that I visit and consult with and help coach. Or better said, the lack of effective communication is the real barrier between leaders and followers and amongst team members. It's interesting and ironic that we have more forms of communication and ways to communicate with technology today, but few of us really connect. In fact, John Maxwell wrote a whole book about this, that everyone communicates, but few connect. And I think it's this connection that's really important when we communicate with people. And this could be a leader at work, in your home, and on your sports team, or in your community. And I want you to think about that as we talk about some things that I think will be helpful in communicating effectively as a leader. I know people understand the concept of talking, and I think when we think about leadership, we think about, well, as a leader, I've got to talk, I've got to speak, I've got to be saying things and casting vision. And that is true. We have to be effective communicators and be able to speak well and speak clearly and to share stories and to share vision that's going to resonate with people and get people excited and passionate about what we're doing. But to master the art of communicating effectively, we also need to understand how to listen well and to be able to communicate from the other person's point of view. So I want to offer up a few things that I think it's important as a leader to do to connect and inspire your team. And then also some key questions that, as a leader, are very key to asking when you're talking to your team members or talking to other people and really understanding where they're coming from and how you can help them as a leader. So the first thing that I want to talk about is seeking first to understand and then be understood. I think that's the first principle that's very important as a leader, to seek first to understand, then be understood. And this is taken directly from Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, which is a great book that I would highly recommend. I read this and actually went to training that Stephen Covey actually did early on in my career, and it made a tremendous impact on me. And this was one of his habits of effective leaders. And you notice in that the goal is to seek first to understand first, then be understood. And I think sometimes with leaders, they think they have to be understood first, and then they might seek to understand after that, or they may not. As long as they're heard and understood, they feel like they're being a leader, and that's effective. And there's a balance there. And Covey and his research found that when people seek first to understand people's passions, their strengths, what motivates them, what activates their performance, and the context for a certain situation or a given circumstance, it's a lot easier and more effective for a leader to communicate and to be understood given the context of understanding that person. And as a leader, we must strive to understand where a person is coming from, the context of their thoughts, their feelings, and their ideas, in order to communicate our opinions and our thoughts and what we're trying to maybe communicate them to for them to do or to accomplish a task or to get across our vision in the context of where they're coming from. And the goal of any communication is that we want that message to be heard, to be received, understood, and incorporated into the other person's life. Sometimes communication is just superficial. It's just heard, but it's not really listened to. It's not received or understood or incorporated into what that other person is doing. And for a leader to truly be effective, we have to have those things, and it has to be not only heard, but they have to receive the message. And again, that's why context is so important. They have to understand where you're coming from and how they apply it in terms of their own life and their own worldview, and then be incorporated into that person's life. If you're trying as a leader at work to get somebody to do a certain task and accomplish a certain goal, it's important that they incorporate some of the guidance you're giving to them and direction in their life to be able to accomplish that task and to accomplish the goal that you're trying to get them to connect with. True connection is made when you're able to do that. You seek to understand them and then be understood. And as somebody who's being led by the most effective leaders that I've ever worked for, if I feel heard and understood, then I'm more likely to receive feedback from that person. And this goes all the way to performance feedback and how to give effective feedback to others. And we do a lot of work with organizations on talent development programs where we're helping them design effective ways to give performance feedback. And again, that's one of the key things is people who are heard and understood. And if I feel like that you're giving me feedback in terms of the goals and strengths that I have, then I'm more likely to receive that feedback and start to incorporate that into the things I'm doing. The second principle of being an effective communicator and having a true effective leadership voice is to communicate the right ratio of positive to constructive feedback. And the more research we do in sports, business, and life, the more convinced we are that a ratio of at least 3-to-1 in terms of positive to constructive feedback is critical to the success of people that you lead and work with. And this is verified by the research that's out there. In fact, some of the research projects that have evaluated this have said it needs to be at least a 5-to-1 ratio of positive to constructive feedback. It's been my experience working with everyone from high-performing students to senior executives that people don't always need your help just in spotting the specks in their eyes. They also need someone who can highlight their strengths and talents and help them maximize their potential. And it's really important that not only do we catch people doing things wrong, I don't think people have any trouble with doing that. As a leader, an effective leader, we have to catch people doing things right. We need to say, hey, that was really good when you asked that question in a client meeting, or you did a great job of presenting in front of that customer. It's important that we understand that and we understand the ways that people are contributing and making an impact and that we're able to reinforce that. And if they are exemplifying a core value that's important to our organization, we need to understand that and point out ways that they're doing that successfully and say, that was a great job when you did this. And that contributes directly to our core value of mutual respect or integrity. But making sure that we have that proper ratio is very important because people pick up on the negative comments. And if the ratio is out of whack, then they're going to be focusing on all of the negative things and not the positive feedback that you're giving them. It's also important that this is feedback and not criticism. For some reason, a criticism or being critical and just saying, well, you're horrible, doesn't usually work. We have to make sure that if they're doing something that's in the wrong way, that it's feedback. You know, you're not doing this in the correct way. I'd like to see you do more of this. And being able to say that in terms of feedback is really important. But I think as a leader, it's important whether you're a parent or whether you're a husband or wife and you're communicating to somebody in a relationship, whether it be a team member or your spouse or your kids, to make sure that you evaluate the ratio that you're using and try to strive for at least a 3-to-1 ratio in terms of that positive to constructive feedback. The third principle is communicating feedback in terms of the other person's potential to be. I was at a leadership conference several years ago and got the opportunity to hear Warren Bennis speak, who is a leadership guru. I'd read many of his books. He had been a professor emeritus at USC and had done a lot of work in the area of leadership and working with senior and executive leaders. And it was interesting because I didn't understand really what he was talking about, their potential to be. But basically, as he explained it further, he said, we've always got to be looking at what is the opportunity for them to become something, to become greater than they are right now, to grow in their potential. And when we talk about potential to be, if we frame up the feedback in terms of, I see you here, and I see that you could be accomplishing this, or you could become this, it inspires them. And they're more ready to receive that feedback or the communication that we give them. So when we frame up the feedback, we need to make sure that it's in terms of what they can become, not what they are not. And many times we stay just lingering around what they're not and just hammer that home instead of giving them feedback in terms of what they can become. And I think as you think about a leader and you think about the communication you give, make sure that even if it's constructive feedback, that it's in terms of what they can become. And I think tailoring it toward a mutually shared vision is very important as well. If at the end of the day, I know that you're on my side and you're trying to help me maximize my potential and accomplish my goals and become all that I can become, then it's going to be a mutually shared vision with you. And I'm going to receive both the positive feedback that you're giving me and the constructive feedback and know that you're on my side and you're trying to help me reach that potential to be and even help me see that, because I've had many mentors and leaders in my own life where maybe I didn't see the vision for where I could go or what I could become or how I could accomplish some impossible goal. And I had somebody speak truth into my life about what was possible and how they saw certain strengths in me that maybe I didn't even recognize or notice or fully realize in my life. And it was just invigorating, and it was accelerated the growth that I had because they talked in terms of my potential to be. So I think that's really important when you think about feedback and you think about the things you're trying to help that person accomplish. Communicating that feedback in terms of the other person's potential to be is really important. And that's how you can become an effective leader. A fourth principle to think about in finding your authentic voice of leadership is to be vulnerable and open. Now, we don't often think about vulnerability as being a key leadership trait. We think about strength. We think about presence and commanding a room and being authoritative and being directive in a positive way. But being vulnerable also seems weak. It often seems weak in our own lives, and we think about, well, I don't know, what does vulnerability have to do with leadership? But it has a lot to do with it, because if we're vulnerable and we're open, we're going to ask questions and create a culture of being able to share without judgment or pride of ownership. The best leaders can learn a lot through the power of questions and thinking about effective questions to ask. Now, we don't want a leader being so vulnerable that they, when, you know, an employee says, well, where are we going? And you say, I have no clue. I don't know where we're going. You don't want that kind of leader. You want somebody who understands that, but you also, and has vision for where we're going. But you also want somebody who says, well, I'm not really sure. We're going to figure that out. Here are some thoughts that I have on it. What do you think? And asking that question of what do you think about this, or what are some of your ideas that you think could help us accomplish that goal, opens up that culture of vulnerability and being able to contribute to the overall solution. Also, innovation happens when people suspend their assumptions about what was done in the past, especially if they were the ones to create it initially, and open their minds to what could be. And sometimes leaders and in terms of their organizations become so, have this pride of authorship that restricts innovation and restricts change and stifles change and doesn't allow people to contribute to new ideas because they're still holding on to what was and not what could be. And I think the best leaders are able to suspend that authorship or that pride of authorship of, hey, this is my solution, but to say, you know, this is an idea we had, this is something we did in the past, it worked, but we want to be open to new ideas and ask people what they think in terms of that and be able to creatively destroy or create that creative destruction of maybe destroying the old way and coming up with something new and creating something that could be better than what was done in the past. But being vulnerable and open is a key trait of effective leaders. A fifth principle around an effective voice of leadership is encouraging others and connecting to core values. We have to make sure that as a leader, we encourage the people that we're leading and influencing, and that we always take time to encourage them and connect to what the other person does to the company's core values. When we reinforce that, it really helps to say, yeah, this is what we're about as a company, and yeah, you're doing a great job of that, and keep doing that. The more a person connects their daily tasks to the mission and vision of the company, the more they truly live out the core values of the organization. And when we say company, it could be any type of organization. That's true even in families. It's true in community organizations, and it's definitely true in sports teams and what we've seen. And connecting how what we do day in and day out connects to the overall core values of the team or the organization is the more likely people are going to live that out if they're able to say, this is what I do and this is how it connects to what we're about from a mission, vision, and values standpoint. Also, when a leader tells success stories about what's been done in the past or what certain people have done, it reminds others about what is important and what you're about as a team, an organization, and a company. And we have to find ways to tell stories about that and say, this is what this core value looks like in practice. And oh, by the way, this is a person who's doing it and has done it very effectively. Effective communication is essential for any leader, and it usually involves just simple things that can make a tremendous difference in the performance of others. And we have to make it a habit to communicate well with others and be a leader of positive influence and impact those you lead at work, at home, in sports, and in your community as well. To me, it begins with listening, but it's also finding ways to communicate in terms of a way to be understood in the context of how people think about things. Here are some questions that I wanted to end the podcast today with that you might think about as a leader. And I recently wrote a blog post about this as well. But I think these are some questions as a leader when you think about the people that you lead and influence that would be very impactful in their own lives. The first question is just asking, how are you doing? I think a lot of times we ask that question and we get a status report back from the people that we lead. I asked that one time of somebody who was working for me, and he starts rattling off his status on all the tasks he was working on. And I was like, no, I'm not asking for a status report. I can get that from you next week. What I'm asking is, how are you doing? How are you doing personally? What have you been up to? What's been going on? And it allows them to communicate from a personal standpoint the things they enjoy. It's a conversation starter for me as a leader. It allows me to understand what they're passionate about in their lives, maybe some of the personal activities they're involved in. And it facilitates a connection between me and the other person. When you ask the question of how are you doing, you promote that connection that John Maxwell was talking about that we all long for, but we few have because we're not communicating in an effective manner. A second question is, what are you most proud of over the last few months? Again, this allows them, it's another way of asking how's it going, but it allows them to talk about the projects they're working on, the progress they're making. And again, when you ask that question, eyes tend to light up. You know, I'm working on this project and this is what's been going on and we've made a breakthrough here and we found a new way to do this and we're having an impact on the clients and customers that we're serving. And it reveals what brings them the most contentment. And that's really key as a leader. When you know what brings contentment from the people that you lead and influence, it can help you assign tasks in the future that are going to allow them to express themselves and express their strengths in that area and make a bigger impact even in the future because you understand what brings them the greatest sense of accomplishment. The third question is, what opportunities have you leveraged? When you ask that question, what opportunities have you leveraged? It allows you to gauge their initiative and creativity. Many times when I've asked that question of people I've led, their eyes light up on that question as well, and they talk about new ideas and the process of discovery. And it allows you to understand their process of learning, how they ask questions, their level of curiosity, which is really important as well. And the best leaders help other people discover possibilities and leverage opportunities. And this question, again, is all about curiosity and understanding what's their level of curiosity and what did they get curious about and what is their thought process in solving problems. A fourth question is, what successes have you had? So as I think about this, and you don't have to go necessarily down a laundry list of questions when you're having a conversation with somebody. You want it to be authentic and natural and organic. But this question, sometimes I'll just ask as a solo question, hey, what successes have you had lately? And again, it goes back to great leaders catch people doing things right and celebrate their successes. So you get to connect with them on the impact they've had, the successes they've had, and it allows them to articulate the wins and breakthrough moments that give you insight into their strengths, talents, and gifts. And it also strengthens commitment. It allows them to be committed to the success of the organization, the team goals, the things you're trying to create together, and allows you to have a connection to what they're committed to as well and be able to help them in that progress, which relates to the fifth question that's really important, and that's, what challenges, if any, do you have in front of you? So not only asking about successes, but asking about what are some current challenges, you know, that you have, if there are. You don't want to create challenges if they're not there, but asking them, what challenges do you have in front of you? And some leaders fear asking this question because they know it's going to demand a response and could involve their time. They don't want to necessarily hear about problems. Certain leaders don't. They just want to make sure things are solved and handled and that there are no issues or no problems. But the reality is, in working on a key project or, you know, going through a season with a team, there are going to be issues and there are going to be setbacks and challenges. And the best leaders ask this question to gather context and to just stay engaged in the process. If you've delegated something off to somebody, you want to know if somebody's having a challenge with that. And you also want to gauge the intuition and discernment of the people that you lead. And we must ask this question. We have to stay engaged in that because we want an opportunity as a leader to invest in them, to show concern for what they're going through, and then to collaboratively engage with them in the process of a solution. And so this serves as a catalyst for courage, you know, and understanding what challenges they're going through. And it's a great lead-in into the last question, and that's, how can I help? Many leaders don't ask this question. Even if they get to the point of having the courage to ask, what challenges are you facing? A lot of times leaders will just back away and say, well, good luck with that, you know, or even if they don't say it, they leave the place not offering their help and their contribution. And so when we fail to ask that question, we leave the other person lingering out there without providing good leadership. And great leaders ask this question, how can I help? They don't disappear from the moment. They seize the moment, seize the opportunity to help them. Truly engaged leaders consistently ask this question after gathering the proper context in order to leverage their power and influence to pave and prepare the way for the people they lead to be successful. And that's really key. They leverage their power and influence to pave and prepare the way for people they lead to be successful. And that's what a key leader does. There's a reason that you have that leadership role and the influence and the power that you have, and you want to leverage that in the right way to remove roadblocks and to mitigate circumstances and certain issues and to truly promote collaboration with your team members. So we have to make sure that we're purposeful and passionate about engaging as a leader and not only leading by example, but also communicating and connecting with the people that we lead. As you think about these questions and think about some of the principles that we've talked about I want you to think about in terms of the leadership roles that you play at home, at work, and in your community. And as you go about this week, think about how you can ask some of these questions and demonstrate some of these principles to truly connect and communicate effectively with the people that you lead and influence. Transformational leaders are purposeful and passionate about engaging with their team. They listen well and ask the appropriate questions in order to provide the right support. As you consider the roles that you play in life and the leadership opportunities and influence that you have, I encourage you to ask these questions. They will help you effectively connect with the people you lead and help you make a positive impact that extends beyond your reach. And that's what we're trying to do at the end of the day, is to be visible in the lives of other people and have a visible impact in the leadership potential of others, and then be invisible to people that we may never see or touch, that those people that we lead have an impact in their lives as well. That's what the invisible hand of leadership is all about. It's what a lot of the programs that we do is about, is that making sure that our immediate grasp or our immediate touch and having an impact on people extends well beyond the reach that we could ever see, hope, or imagine. I encourage you to stay committed to your leadership journey, to embrace the roles of leadership, to become a more effective communicator and as a leader, and to lead well within your sphere of influence. If you are interested in going further in developing your leadership voice, check out some of our resources in the coaching and speaking page on www.mikevanhooser.com. And there you can find a lot of resources that we have in the area of coaching and also workshops and training and retreats that we have, and especially programs around our Invisible Hand of Leadership workshop as well, which we've done for sports teams and do for a lot of businesses and even nonprofits and churches, including Accenture, KPMG, Kendra Scott, Rice University, and Baylor University. I wish you a great week, and as always, make the most of the moments in your life.